Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets. I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program. We feel like we have a place for you. We feel like there's an opportunity for you to grow and share in God's creation of the church. And so we just invite you to come join us every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. I feel like we've got a teacher that's prepared to be able to share the Word of the Lord with you and be able to share some of the things that maybe is going on in a common way through individuals' lives. There's many of these experiences that are shared throughout the Christian life, and we want to be able to strengthen you and speak to you in that manner. So keep that in mind. I also want to invite you to come worship with us at 11 a.m. On Sunday mornings. We're traditional. We're a traditional Baptist church. We just love to share the Lord. We love good preaching. We love good singing. And as we love for the Lord to be lifted up. And we'd like for you to come. And I'm not going to tell you. Now, a lot of folks would tell you that, you know, you just come to church and it'll solve all your problems. Well, that's just not true, folks. That's just not true at all. What we hope that might happen is that you might come to the place where the gospel finds a landing place in your heart, and you might have your eternity changed. You may still go through some hard times in this world. You may still have some, you may have poverty and sickness and disease, and all these things might come upon you. But friend, listen, all these things are temporary. There is an eternity out there beyond this, and we hope to be able to prepare you for that. We want to be able to introduce you more and more to the Lord Jesus Christ, and just to have Him working in your heart and affecting you in your life, and just thank God for the opportunity to do so. So, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. Sunday school. Worship service is at 11. We also have a weekly Bible study every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We'd like to invite you to come to that as well. We're continuing to look through the book of John. Been having just a terrific time looking at that. The book of John was written so that men might believe. And the gospel, folks, is not just for non-believers. It's for you and I. It's for Christians. It's for folks who are continuing to walk daily in that gospel. And I thank God that Christ took upon Himself my sins. And that was the only hope for mankind, is if Christ Himself said, I will take the punishment. I will take God's wrath. And God's wrath found satisfaction at the cross of Calvary. There's been much said, many questions about Psalm 46. Many of you heard of President Obama read Psalm 46 last Sunday morning. I know we shared it here at Rallets. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school. It's a psalm that many of us will look at. And I thought maybe today it'd be good to just kind of take a glimpse at Psalm 46 and see about what it means. So if you're where you can, open a Bible up and share with us. If not, we'll be sharing that here in a second. I want to remind you of a couple of things coming up here at Rallets. We are going to be having our homecoming on September the 25th. Brother Jack Abels will be the guest speaker. Now, folks may have come and gone, and we know, but a homecoming is a time when we bring all the folks that used to attend here, maybe they haven't been here for a while. We'll have folks coming in from all over just to be with us. And so Brother Jack was pastor at Rallets from 71 to 73. He's currently the pastor at Eastridge Baptist Church in Texas. And we're just looking forward to seeing what Brother Jack, what the Lord laid on his heart. So keep that in mind. Our schedule is a little different on September the 25th. Our worship service will begin at 10 a.m., an hour earlier. So that means you just keep in mind, if you show up for Sunday school, you'll be on time for church. We're having a worship and music service, so keep those things in mind as well. And also want to remind you of our Fall Harvest Day is coming up on October the 1st, Saturday, October the 1st. So keep those things in mind, and we'll be sure to look for you and appreciate you and your help. Psalm 46. The writer of the psalm was one of the sons of Korah. This was a group that was specially picked out by God to be music leaders, to be praise and worship leaders in God's house. And we know that it was God's divine plan that men should praise Him. That's the reason that we were actually created, that God created us to worship Him, to glorify Him, to give Him a great witness in this world, that you and I, standing redeemed by the blood of Christ, might be trophies of God's grace. We might be put on display to the world, whether it be a vessel of suffering or a vessel of worthiness, a vessel of glory, whatever it is that we've been created to do in Christ Jesus. It is in that thing that we will glorify Him the most. So, friend, whether it seems as if your life is nothing but one suffering after another, or it may seem as God has blessed you with the opportunity to go throughout the course of your life and never really have any great hiccups or speed bumps along the way, either way, what's coming up in your life, if you mean it, if you want to live it to the fullest, you must live it to the glory of God. You must walk by faith, for there's no other way to please God except to please Him through a faithful walk. This is a psalm of trust. Psalm 46 is a psalm of trust. And it rejoices in the deliverance that the Lord gives His people in the midst of a fearsome battle or siege, okay? There's a reason to believe that Psalm 46 through Psalm 48 sort of form a trilogy that focuses on God's special love for Israel. Psalm 46 was Martin Luther's basis for the Reformation hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark Ever Standing." You know that song. And the poem has three movements in it, okay? Each indicated by the closing word, Salah. Now, when you're reading through the Psalms, Bible student, and you notice this word, Salah, it really aims for you to take a pause. It wants you to take a set aside a moment to reflect on what you've just said. Can I share something with you? I think one of the great things you're missing out on your weekly worship service, one of the things that we go through the motions all too easily on and miss a great point, is that when you and I stand up to sing songs on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, when we open up these old hymn books, maybe you've got it on the wall, I don't care where you've got it at, I want you to know that God works through music. And when you simply allow the words to pass through, to allow the air in your lungs to move on your vocal cords and to form words that just go out into space, and they might land on the eardrum of someone else and be interpreted as a meaning, having a meaning to it, that if you just simply let it go through those motions like that, and you don't take in and understand and see what it is you're singing, then you, friend, are really missing out. God wants to speak to you through music, through the hymns, through the worship of Him. Why else would the angels stand before God continually? And when the time comes, they're to cry out, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb." Friends, there's power in praise. There's power in praise. And so when you come to that word Salah in the middle of those Psalms, take a moment and reflect on what God's trying to say to you. Look at it. Don't just let it be a song that you don't think nothing of. Dwell on it. And so I just challenge you to do that as we look at Psalm 46. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. I want you to know that God is present at all times. And the people of God are secure even in times of upheaval, because God is their refuge, okay? And their strength. Now, you remember what Nehemiah was told? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Friends, I want you to know that there's a strength that you can draw from being a Christian that people around you have no idea what it is you're talking about. They cannot comprehend this strength. It's distinguishable to their eyes. They're lost. They're walking in darkness and blindness. And when you seem to be able to handle yourself in circumstances that others break down in, when you seem to be able to grab hold of something peaceful and calm, when all the others are tore up and all the others are falling under crashing waves of despair and stress, when all those others are just seem to be without any hope, and you stand firm knowing that your God has given you something that this world cannot take away, it did not give you, it cannot take it away, you find your strength. Your God is your strength. I don't want you to underestimate that. I don't want you to see that is something very small that's God given you. It's something very huge. As a matter of fact, it's something that's so enormous and something that will affect you, because there's coming a time in your life when your strength will not be sufficient. And you will need the strength of God that God gives. Verse 1 is talking about God being present in His city as an emblem, if you would, of His people as a whole to protect it in all circumstances. Verses 2 and 3, share those with me. Even... It says, therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You see, friends, God's talking about, you're talking about earthquakes, landslides, the raging sea. All those are images of raging nations, tottering kingdoms. That these things are it might be rephrased a little bit. It moves the action to a cosmic level. What if the struggle, okay? What if the struggle were not just an ordinary war with ordinary weapons? What if the war involved even shaking the mountains and causing the seas to roar? What if the terrorists in this world that are seeking to strike terror in your heart, you know, that's why they don't back up when it comes to killing children, to killing mothers, to killing women. They don't have any qualms about the atrocities they commit. They don't reflect upon the evil that they pour out onto this world. They're looking to strike terror. Their father is Satan. Satan is looking to strike terror. He's the father of lies. If he can lie to your spirit enough to get you to lose your confidence in God and become afraid, the ultimate terrorist is Satan. And if you don't believe that there's a great war going on that your eyes cannot see, then you're just as well to turn this radio off and go about your business elsewhere. Because we cannot ignore that there is a battle raging all around us. And even right now, there are things that would try to distract you from what I'm saying. There are things that are trying to get you to turn to the left or to the right and not to look straight forward and take this thing on. Because if the devil can keep you in the dark about the battle that's going on, you'll simply go through the motions of your entire life and you won't be impacted by what's... I want you to know that there's somebody out there that's looking to destroy you. He wants to rob your family of its happiness. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to rip your mind apart. And if he can do all that enough to get your soul to not consider the great battle that's raging and to have that soul to wind up in the place that's prepared for him, then he's happy. Because, friend, misery loves company, and Satan will forego an eternity of misery in a lake of fire. And if he can drag you with him, then he'd love that. That'd be it's his great desire. So if we're afraid of terrorists, let us first consider that we're under attack and have been under attack way before September the 11th, 2001. Satan is working. And he does have the ability. Go back to verses 2 and 3. I'm not going to leave the Bible. Others can read a verse and preach all over the place, but I think God would have His people to be educated about the Scriptures. I don't think God is trying to hide Himself from you. If someone tells you that you're not welcome with your Bible, then you walk away from that place. You go to a place where you're encouraged to read your Bible, where you're encouraged to spend time with God. It's not just the preachers that can interpret Scriptures. If you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures are open to you, and the Holy Spirit is looking to do a great work in your heart and in your mind, but you've got to get in the Scriptures. They are the words of God. And God is looking to impart something to you. He's looking to give you a glimpse of Himself. And when you see God, it changes your perspective. Stand in the midst of the raging sea. Satan does have the ability to bring landslides and earthquakes and cause the sea to roar. But he is not higher than your God. So we see that though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, consider it, think of it. There is a river. Praise the Lord. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. So what do we know? Read verse 5 with me as well. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. My favorite verse, probably a verse I very often tell my wife I want read at my funeral, is Psalm 30 and verse 5. And Psalm 30 is a psalm that I hope you can go back and check out sometime. And I hope it can help you. It talks about the blessedness of answered prayer. It's a song at the dedication of the house of David. Verse 5 says, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And here we find in verse 46, verse 5, says, "God shall help her just at the break of dawn." The people do not have an absentee deliverer. We don't have a deliverer. We don't have a God that has checked out. We've got a God that every time we call will say present. Every time we fall on our faces with a repentant heart and seek this God, He shall be found. The fence that is only sometimes present is not much help. If you have a door that needs to stay locked all the time, but half the time it's not, that door is not serving the purpose for which it was placed there. If you're serving a God that lets you down time after time, I want you to switch gods. If you're serving the God of alcohol, and every time you sober up, you've got to go right back to Him, something's wrong. If you're serving a God of drugs, if you're serving a God of sex, if you're serving a God of any other thing, and you find it in those very short moments that it does fulfill you, it's only just a few heartbeats away that fulfillment is gone, and you find yourself desiring more. And this time, you've got to outdo what you did the last time in order to gain that same sense of satisfaction. And friend, you get caught up in a vicious cycle, in an undying cycle, where that you have to keep destroying yourself more and more and more in order to achieve the distraction that you're hoping to have, in order to seek the comfort of that God that is not able to deliver you. I want to introduce you to a God by the name of Jehovah, and throughout history, Jehovah has seen fit to satisfy His people. And when men and women give themselves totally over to this God, who can be accessed today through the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ of God, and the Christ of God has come to bring peace between God, Jehovah, and His people. And now the day of wrath is past, the day of judgment is coming, but we stand today in the day of salvation. And if you're wondering how you might get satisfied, if you're wondering how you could quit running to and fro and here and there trying to find just another fix to distract you from the realities of this world, I want you to know you're not going to find present help or satisfaction in any other place than in the God of the Holy Bible. Jesus satisfies every desire. He answers all the questions because His grace is sufficient for us. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. I've always heard it gets the darkest right before the dawn. I don't know if that be true or not. But I have found when situations get dark enough in our lives, when we find that our strength is insufficient, when we find that we are in desperate need of a Savior, that God makes Himself very, very known, and God makes Himself very, very capable. Verse 6 starts us back through. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. So verse 6 takes another turn. Almost gives us another look at what's going on here. Says that almost now the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. If Satan can bring earthquakes and landslides and stormy seas, God's Word can take it all away. Satan only has the power that God gives him, and terror only has the power you give it. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing what's right in spite of the fear. Standing for your God will never backfire on you. Because no matter what else rages against you, if God utters His voice, the earth will melt. Verse 7 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Salah. Think about it. Understand it. Verse 8 says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth." Satan thinks he can bring about destruction. Look at what the wicked do. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Stand at the Red Sea with Moses and the children of Israel and look at your enemy as if it's been wiped out before you. Stand with Nehemiah and look at the rebuilt walls of Jerusalem. Stand with Daniel in the lion's den and look at the angels as they shut the mouths of the lions. Stand with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they're in the furnace, as the fire rages all around them, but even the smell of the smoke is not to be found upon their clothes. Stand with Paul the apostle in the Roman legions all around him as he stands before Caesar and he says, "All I know is I once was blind, but now I see." Stand with all the saints of all the history and say, "This world was nothing compared to the glories of our God." Verse 9 says, "He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Oh, I hope you can lay hold of this fact. I hope you can see this for what it is. Oh, God has given us opportunity to stand in a world that will not acknowledge Him, in a world that does not, they're dead in their sins, and they despair. Share these words with me. Martin Luther penned them so well. "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, never failing. Our helper He, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle." Friend, will you end with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we thank You that You are our mighty fortress. We thank You that You are our present help, a refuge and a strength. We will not fear because we know that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We know that God is in the midst of us, that we shall not be moved. And I pray that You might allow us to be still and to know that You are God. Thank You, Father, that You will be exalted among the nations, that You will be exalted in the earth, and that the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.